talking to Wendy Harmer.
It's an hour of power on Today FM.
Oh, go, Ross, go. Now, where were you during the 80s when the rest of us were spending our lives face down in some bar carpet somewhere, you know, watching bands, you know, like AC/DC and Rose Tattoo and all that? Who were you watching? Where were you? I think you were doing the Rocky Horror Show, weren't you?
Yeah, I finished high school in New Zealand.
Mm.
So I was watching bands like the Mockers and the Dance Exponents and the Netherworld Dancing Toys and the sort of bands. And Australian bands that were tour regular, like the Hoodoo Gurus and stuff. You know.
Mm.
But I didn't leave here until 78, so I'd seen AC/DC live before that.
Mm.
It was a really healthy period of for music in New Zealand, actually.
Yeah.
That all led to the Flying Nun bands that started to come out and break out worldwide as well. But basically, the record company that coined the phrase independent, which now everybody just flings around, right? You know, anybody's got a black t-shirt on is an independent artist. Whatever.
Yeah. You were doing on your band thing before that. Now mm-hmm. I was asking.
My first record came out in 1981.
Mm. You said it was like the worst, probably some of the two worst tracks that had ever been recorded in New Zealand music history.
Yeah, rocketed straight to the bottom of the charts.
Yeah.
Six bullets and a hand grenade.
Now I was asking Billy Bob Thornton the other day, who's a
wacko,
a chopper name. Which would he rather? Would he rather?
I was asking Billy, who's a loopy?
Yeah. would he rather?
You know, he couldn't sit in this room. He wouldn't be able to sit in this room because there's too many antique. There's too much wood. He needs, like, you know, I mean, isn't it weird? Like, this bloke, he kind of, his image is this southern good old boy, and he's, like, got to sit in plastic chairs or he gets the heebie-jeebies.
I was asking him, though, you know, with his music at the moment,
mm-hmm.
which would he rather? Would he rather win an Oscar, an Emmy, or a Grammy? What about for you?
I'd just rather have good health and a long life. I don't really give a toss about winning stuff, you know.
Yeah. Would you rather be recognised for your music or your acting? Because for him, the music seemed to be, you know, a real passion that he's done for years and years.
I know this sounds, you know, it's very difficult for people to understand the concept, but I'm not necessarily looking to be recognised for anything.
Well, actually, he gave the same answer. It's really about in the room on the night.
Yeah, it's just what I do, you know.
People are having a great time.
I've been writing songs and playing with a band for most of my adult life. In fact, the first professional band I was in was when I was 14. I mean, you know, if you know anything about music, if you play a musical instrument, the point of playing music is the music.
Mm.
And that's really what it comes down to. I mean, what the f*** is Britney Spears' point?
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
You just want to see a room full of people just transported, just having a brilliant night.
Just having a bit of fun, mate, you know. And I'm a working class boy, so when somebody pays money for a ticket, I'm there to make sure they have a good time. That's the process. I'm the entertainer, you know.
Just gleaming, can't believe that I call my men cheating, so I found another way to make.
The legend of Barry Cable.
Mm-hmm.
I knew the name really well. I said, was just saying to your mate Russell over here, I was saying, was he a murderer or a footballer?
Well, you see, in Victoria, in Victoria he was a footballer.
Yeah.
But in Sydney he was a painter and dock and union strong arm man in the early 70s.
And why does he deserve to have a song written about him?
It's a good story. I mean, he was accused of shooting two people in a pub in Fitzroy. One of them was a 9-year-old kid called Nicholas, but he got off on the charges because the eyewitness refused to testify against him. Such was his reputation as an angry man. But he got beaten up by, allegedly beaten up by the boys in blue up here at one stage with baseball bats, and then run over a couple of times, you know, because of the they couldn't charge him with anything, so they just thought they'd run him over.
Doesn't sound like they could kill him either.
No, they dumped him outside the Royal South Sydney Hospital, and he survived, and he had like metal plates in his head, and basically at that point is when he started just, you know, being a street person.
So there is something there about, you know, I guess in you that wants to, you know, connect with those patients and have lost causes, Russell Crowe, maybe.
I always think of myself, you know, by the grace of God, go I, you know. I mean, I've been doing what I do for a long time, and yes, it looks like I'm really successful now and all that, but, you know, there wasn't anybody around patting me on the back, you know, when I was living in a doss house or, you know, busking on the streets to get money to eat, you know.
Yeah.
And it's that sort of determination that I recognise in myself, but I do know that maybe, you know, one day I could very conceivably have not gotten up again, you know. I could have turned to heavier drugs or whatever, you know. So it comes from a conversation I had with Anthony Hopkins, because he doesn't drink anymore, but he used to be a raging alcoholic. And he said to me, every time that he goes to a new city that he's never visited, he goes immediately to the red light district, because he can tell a lot about the nature of a city and the nature of the people who live in the city as to whether the red light district is hidden or whether it's open, you know. And he always just goes to remind himself why he doesn't drink.
Do you think that was what Hugh Grant was doing?
I have no idea.
Well, it's a possibility.
I really don't want to know anything about Hugh Grant's sex life, quite frankly. Can't imagine how anybody would find that sort of, you know, like, what if I take off your panties now? You know, how can you find that sexually attractive?
Hey,
look,
it brings
look down here. Mr. Willie's come to say hello.
brings out the mother in us, Russell.
Really?
Yeah.
The mother with the rolling pin, smack him over the head. I'm just jealous because he's got Divine Brown's mobile number.
That's one of the
worst named people in the world, Divine Brown. I could think of a lot of other names.
You don't know, it could actually
be
Divine. You just wouldn't know. You might just look her up and see where she is.
You'd have to be drinking a lot.
What are you thinking, Skanky Brown or something?
That was Wendy Harmer. That wasn't me.
Time saver traffic to go by. Thanks to virginblue.com.au. Book online or call 136789. And in just a moment, Wendy Harmer talks exclusively with Russell Crowe on 104.1 Today FM.
It's been a long time coming. The limited edition Silver Line and Black as Sin.
I was very disappointed.
Yeah.
I respect their decision and it's their choice and all that, but, you know, it's times like this you've really got to examine these things, you know. Whatever you might say about America, whatever you might joke about American excesses and all that sort of stuff, they are our greatest ally.
They're brilliant people.
And, mate, they're a lot of fun, you know. I mean, they really are. And they're asking us to, you know, go on with life, get on aeroplanes, you know, get about and doing things. And so I think that's the worst message to send, you know. And this is an important time. I went to do some business there last week. I could have stayed here. I could have done things over the phone, or I could have just gone to Los Angeles. But I got a lot of friends in New York City, and I wanted to turn up. I wanted to give them some confidence. We had a couple of dinner parties for people, and, you know, just walked down the streets. Just went, you know, I'd spent 6 months there earlier this year making a movie. I just went and saw the bloke that I used to get a newspaper from. I went and saw the bloke at the cafe that had made coffee, and they were just so happy to see me, you know. And it just bolstered their you know, base enthusiasm and made, you know. And I think that's really important. And I think whatever we can do to not only to be seen, but to be actually supportive of our American allies at this point, we should be doing this. Everybody's involved in this. You know, Western democracies, if you're a country that believes in freedom, if you're a person that believes in your inalienable right to live your life the way that you want to do it, then this war is your problem too. That's really my statement about it. You know, it's not going to, I'm not going to let it restrict me. But at the same time, I would advocate keeping both your eyes open, folks.
Now, listen, I've got a bit of an issue with you.
An issue?
Your stinking football team has taken half our players.
Oh, what's your team?
Manly.
Who gives a toss?
Well, I would just like to say, we have been...
All I can say is John O'Neill, Ray Brannigan. You go for years and years and years, you wankers stealing players off San Sydney.
Let me just say this. Oh, what bull... That we help.
We can, you can tell you're a Melbourne guy, mate, because you just don't know your footy.
I do know my footy.
Folks, just continue here with the Russell Crowe Radio Show, because Wendy's microphone's done their Mr. Floppy and their Bloody Mary's hit the deck as well. So we don't want to edit this part because it's a fascinating radio for those of you.
Listen.
I live a thousand. bras across the bridge will run a little smoother Monday. Maybe.
Today FM.
Right about now. The funk soul brother. Check it out now. The funk soul brother. Right about now. The funk soul brother. Check it out now. The funk soul brother. Right about now. The funk soul brother. Check it out now. The funk soul brother. Right about now. The funk soul brother. Right about now.
Aboriginal dancer and your slaughterhouse man, your ex-abattoir worker.
A butcher.
Russell Gilbert.
And as a comedian, he makes a great butcher.
So what can people expect from a show? How long do you...
It goes on for hours, the show. Goes on forever.
I bring
a sleeping bag and a pillow, because we haven't burned them. And then Russell, it depends. He's only supposed to do 10 minutes, but...
He's a stage hog, Russell.
The last time he did 10 minutes was in the was backstage. It was on stage, he gets there and just does whatever feels right. But
when you were touring America, was there a particular state where you thought, these are my people, where you felt really happy and
We've been to Texas a couple of times now, and we have a great time when we play in Texas.
Playing Texas for me too was, I thought, I really understand these people.
Mm-hmm.
I remember
I think it comes down to the barbecue thing.
Yeah, and it's big. Yeah. And you get that.
Yeah.
And they're
really proud of their place too. I mean, you know, and the same sort of pride as Australians. They don't have to wear it on their sleeve necessarily, but, you scratch the surface and they'll start singing your songs and what have you.
And there's a big sky there. That was the one thing that I really related to. So mm-hmm. I lived in the Western District and I got there and you've got that 180-degree sky, and I got to Texas and went, I get this place. Because the sky is as much of a part of the landscape as anything else.
This tour was quite surprising because we'd been to Austin and, the privileged thing for us is before we even step on the plane to go, we knew that we'd sold every single ticket in every city, you know. So we would go down one on Texas because we'd been there before, as I said, and then going to Philadelphia and playing in the Electric Factory and reading the names of the bands that have played at the Electric Factory over the last 30 years, or the Fillmore West. I mean, you know, that was pretty amazing, you know, just whether it's from, you know, the Stones or the Grateful Dead or whatever, all the way through to, you know, the things that are happening now. I mean, we played some great venues, classic venues.
I remember being in Texas and this guy heckled me. And I said, I can't understand a dad blind word you're saying, but you sure do have a pretty accent. And they all went, yes! This good guy said to me, well, you're as cute as a speckled pup underneath a fire truck.
Does that mean it's been run over?
No, I thought I'd just take that as a win and move on.
Yeah, okay. Sorry, I didn't mean to examine it.
New YoPlus Vita Boost yogurt from Yoplait is boosted with 9 essential vitamins. It's...
Would you sort of knock back an offer for a flick to be able to tour with the band? Where does it take place in your priorities?
The amount of films that I turn down as opposed to the amount of films that I do is a really imbalanced sort of book.
I'm sure it is. See, they're doing a remake of Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. I mean, did you turn that one down?
They didn't discuss that one with me because they probably didn't want to feel the heat of the rejection.
But do you get a certain kind of script offered to you these days? Are they all of an ilk? But you suppose you spread yourself around enough for them all to be different.
Yeah. I mean, there was a moment there after L.A. Confidential. Well, there has been other moments. After Romper Stomper, I could have had a very short career playing bald guys. Some of Us, I got a lot of scripts where the characters were gay. After Virtuosity, I got just piles of stuff playing various forms of cyber villains. But the main, I think, turning point there could have been L.A. Confidential, because for about 13 months, all we got was scripts where I played a policeman in some version or other. And you've got to resist the easy money and wait for the thing that turns you on. I mean, I do the scripts that when I read them, they give me goosebumps and I start immediately playing the character in my mind and start making decisions on behalf of the character. Now, not every one of those scripts turns out to be a great movie, because the process is very unusual, and it's a very complicated and elusive medium.
Yeah.
You know. However, that's the way I make the decisions, and you know, if it means I don't work for a while I wait just to find the good one, that's what I do.
Russell Crowe, have a brilliant time at your two gigs. I'm very, very jealous.
And I hope your floppy willy problem sorts itself out.
Thank you so much. Today, FM. Never man as a wise man.